Good morning. I hope you had a blessed Thanksgiving. I always show you Thanksgiving. We spend time with family and eat food and all that good stuff. So we went up north, and it kind of reminded me of something. When I was growing up, that's code for many years ago. Okay, so when I was growing up, occasionally I would watch this game show. Okay, this is going to date you. Occasionally I was watch this game show called To Tell the Truth, okay? Probably you have to be like, I was thinking, probably 55 plus to remember that game show. But it was called To Tell the Truth, and in this game show, there would be like either three men or three women. They would come out, and they would each introduce themselves one at a time, and let's say the person's name was like Joe Smith. He would come out and say, I am Joe Smith. And then the next guy would say, I am Joe Smith. And then the third guy would say, I am Joe Smith. And then they would read this bio. They kind of had an interesting story, or they invented something, or they were the first to try something, or okay, give this interesting story, and they would sit down. And during the show, four panelists would get to ask any of one of them questions, and they had to try to figure out who was the real Joe Smith. And so they would go along, they would ask questions, and at the end, each of the panelists would guess which of the three, number one, number two, or three, which of the three was really Joe Smith. And then at the end, there was the dramatic part. The host, he would say, will the real Joe Smith please stand up? They're all sitting, and then they would kind of do a fake, and they would kind of fake. And then the Joe Smith, the actual Joe Smith, he would stand up. So that was the game show. That was the show. And as I thought about it, I thought, you know, God and the Bible have a similar word and exhortation for us. And it's this. Would the real Ross Akamine, right? Would the real Craig Yamachika, would the real, he speaks to you, would the real you please stand up? Whether you know it or not, if you are a Christian, then you have not one, but two yous. If you are a Christian, you have two yous. There's the old you, and there's the new you. Let's look at this verse, Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. But that is not the way you learned Christ. This is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Now let's look at this, verse 22. To put off your what? Old self. Put off your, it's almost like it's a garment you have to take off, right? Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, renewed in your thinking, renewed in your understanding. Have a change of mind. Verse 24, and to put on the new self, created, this is, look at this, created, this is the new you. If you're a believer, you have a new you, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So Paul, teaching God's word, says there's two yous. There's the old you, and there's the new you. Now, one of the yous, this old you, that's the sin nature you. It was an evil, idolatrous, rebellious, corrupted, selfish, independent, self-willed you. So it looked like this. You. That's one you, the old you, with a sin nature, okay? But there's also, so there's the old you. And Paul says this, forget the old you. Forget about the old you. Take off that old you. He said, discard that old, smelly, dirty thing. Why? Because if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, if you have put your faith in Jesus and received him and his life, then that old you is D-E-A-D, dead. That old you is dead. Look at these verses, Romans 6:6. Knowing this, okay, says you have to know this, not just in your head and but in your heart. You have to have this conviction. Know this, that our old self, the old you, the sin nature, was crucified with him. Who's him? Jesus. If you don't know the answer and you're in church, Jesus. Okay, 50% of the time, you'll get it right. Okay. That old self was crucified with him, Jesus, in order that our body of sin, the sin nature, might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. So Paul clearly says, you need to know this, that the old you is dead. It was crucified with Christ. Now, I don't know how that happened. It's a spiritual thing. It's a God thing. But clearly, unequivocally in the Bible, in God's word, he says, if you've received Christ, your old man has been crucified with Christ. When Christ was on the cross, your old man, right there in Christ on the cross. Okay, let's look at Colossians 3:3. Many verses talk about this. For you have died. Can't get any clearer than that. You're all sitting here, right? So you didn't die physically. So what died? The old man. You, it says you, the old you, has died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, this is one of the most important aspects of being a Christian. This is what Christianity is all about. You have received a brand spanking new you. There's a new you. Brand new you. You are a completely new race of humanity. You might look the same. You might kind of act the same. You might smell the same. But the reality is you are a completely new race of humanity. Not after Adam, but after Christ. Completely new. You are a new spiritual person inside. And you have been given the holy life of Jesus in, like we read before, in the likeness of God himself. And Paul says, put that baby on. Put that new you on. It radiates the glory of Christ himself. Let that life burn bright. Now, I know what some of you are probably thinking at this point. Some of you are probably thinking those, you know, analytical, maybe skeptical, maybe a little cynical you. To some of you that are thinking, and you're thinking, if that's true, if that old sinful part, that sin nature is dead, buried, and I have a new you in me, brand new in the likeness of God, if that's true, then why do I still do things I don't want to do? Right? We all do things that we don't want to do. At times, why do I still struggle with sin? Why am I plagued by anger or lust or worry or greed or selfishness or impatience or? If all this is what you're saying is true, if that's what the Bible says and teaches, and now that is true, why do I still struggle with sin? Let me tell you why. Let me tell you what the Bible says why. It's because even though your sin nature is dead, it left some residual baggage. It left some remnants. It left some leftovers. You know, like on Thanksgiving, you have a piece, and then the next day you have leftovers. They own you. The sin nature left leftovers in your life that still remain. In fact, your sin nature, when it was living in you, every single person was, you know, I've seen surveys, I've seen things of people in general and Christians, and they asked them this question: do you think people are basically good or basically bad? The vast majority of people, including Christians, they say, I think people are basically good. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what God's word says. God's word is crystal clear on this. We people are basically bad. Now, there's a part of us that wants to do the right thing. There's a part of us that wants to be good, be loving, honor God, whatever, treat people well. But the Bible says we people without Christ basically are bad because of our sin nature. That's why if any of you are looking to government or to human institutions or man-made things to fix the world, you're going to be very, very disappointed. Because things, and we see this all the time, organizations, things that start off doing good, but if they do not have God in it, over time, what happens? Downhill. Because we have a sin nature. That's why we have these leftovers. Even if you're a Christian, you have these leftovers. You have these remnants. You have this residual in your life. In fact, the Bible says that the sin nature was like an evil taskmaster in your life who has trained and influenced you with bad habits, with hurts, with wounded souls, with wrong thinking and wrong beliefs, with negative reactions, with out-of-control emotions, stubbornness, etc. And the Bible term for all this residual stuff, this bad training that we've all been influenced by, the Bible term for this is flesh. Our flesh. Sarx in the Greek. So that's this diagram. Our old sin nature, it trained. This is like sin nature's mini-me. This is like the mini-me of the sin nature. Right? This is the little sin nature. And even though if you receive God, receive Christ, your sin nature is done away with, this still remains. The flesh. The flesh still remains. And the flesh and the spirit are at odds. Totally, completely at odds. Romans 8, 7 through 8. For the mind... Again, notice it's always talking about the mind. It's our thinking. You know what? If you want to change your life, you know what you have to do? Change your thinking. If you want to change your life, you have to change your thinking. Change your perceptions. Change your understandings. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, the other morning I was getting ready to have my quiet time. I went downstairs and one of my children was there, and my wife Dale was there. And then one of my kids, they were talking about something they're going through with a colleague, and they were kind of explaining the situation. And then out of my mouth, I just said something kind of, it wasn't real bad, but it was kind of negative. I said something, not about them, but about that colleague. I said, oh, I think they're just doing that because blah, 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 blah. And it was kind of a negative thing, right? And then Dale, my wife Dale, she commented, she walked by her, and then she made some other little comment. And then I just said something kind of negative. Just out of my mouth, said something kind of negative. And then my wife turns to me and says, what's going on with you, right? What's up with you? I think you need a Sabbath, right? I was like, didn't respond, exercise self-control. But then I just picked up my Bible, right? My journal, and I just walked upstairs. I go, I need to be alone. I just walked up to the bedroom, sat down in the bedroom to spend time with God. And you know what happens, right? When I sit down, spend time with God, the Holy Spirit comes. Like, yeah, I know. I know. And I could tell Dale was totally right. Like, just because things I was going through, things going on, pressure, stress, different things, I was like unsettled inside. So I was sitting there, and then she walks upstairs and comes into the bedroom. And I can feel the Holy Spirit say, you should apologize, right? But I felt the wrestling, the flesh and the spirit. And you know what? I couldn't bring myself to apologize, but I just said, oh, you know, I think you're right, because I think I'm going through stuff, and da-da-da-da, and we kind of talked a little bit, and then, it was, you know, I half did it, right? But that's the flesh. That's the flesh that we all struggle with. So even though the old you is dead and gone, crucified with Christ, and even though you have a righteous new self in Christ, we need training. We need practice. We need to work at taking off the old habits, right? Exposing the lies, retrain our thinking. We need healing for our damaged souls. Our fleshly side wants to fight with our spiritual side. So this is what it looks like. If you're a Christian, the old you, dead, right? Crucified with Christ. But we have this two parts, this new spiritual person, spiritual you in Christ. One in union. You know, you are a constantly, continually, 24/7, your spirit is in union with God, union with the Holy Spirit. One, holy, blameless, pure, righteous, child of God, heir, all those things. You have this new you, but you have this other part, right? Not the old self, not the sin nature, but you have this residual flesh. And they fight against each other. They war against each other. Look at Romans 8, 13 and 14. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's what the Christian life on this earth is about. Living and learning to live more and more by our true nature, our new spirit person, and putting to death, taking off the old self, putting to death that residual flesh, addressing and dealing with those bad habits or those false ways of thinking or those wounds and hurts that we have. That's why prayer ministry, that's why we continue to announce, encourage, exhort to get prayer. Go to deliverance teams. Because what they do is deal with your wounded soul, the hurts that drive us. That's part of our flesh that drive us to do the things we don't want to do. The other day, I saw this video clip. It's of Terry Crews. You know, Terry Crews, former athlete, actor, host of AGT, America's Got Talent. And he was actually at Joel Osteen's church, and he was doing this interview. And Terry Crews, he has a very interesting background. So he grew up in Flint, Michigan, and he grew up with a very, very abusive alcoholic father. When he was 5 years old, Terry Crews saw his father get angry, ball up his hand in a fist, and hit his mother. When he was five, he saw this. He hit his mother as hard as he could right in the face. It knocked the mom out. And then the dad, standing over the mom who was knocked out on the ground, he said this, "See what you made me do." He wet his bed. Terry Crews wet his bed until he was 14 because of all the chaos and the violence and the anger in his home growing up. And he put all that energy, all that anger. He said he was picked on, beat up, bullied by gang members, drug dealers and stuff growing up too. He put all that into getting strong, getting stronger, making it. Because he says one day he might have to kill his father. His life was about anger and revenge. In the year 2000, I think Terry was about 32 years old. He had experienced success as an athlete, as an actor. He decided he would go back home to Flint, Michigan for Christmas. That was year 2000. While he was out with his wife, they had went out to go to dinner, and his kids were at his parents. He gets a call from his aunt, and his aunt says, "The house is in chaos because your dad has hit your mom again and knocked her tooth out." And so Terry Crews says, "That's it. This is the moment." So he goes back to his parents' house. He tells them, "Get all the kids out. Get everyone out of the house." And he confronts his dad. And I'm going to show you a real short video clip of Terry Crews talking about that incident when he went back to his parents' home to confront his dad.
"Here my father is on the ground bleeding. I'm sitting on his bed, and I'm watching him. And I'm like, this is a man I want to honor. And I'm hitting him. And it wasn't right. And when you're talking about this revenge thing, there's always this promise of a payoff. And I remember I left Flint emptier and colder than I'd ever been. When you are born again, when you realize you are new, and it's wild because once it came to me and I realized I can reset. I don't have to behave the way I behaved. I don't have to go the places I used to go. That God is my father. Knowing that I am a child of God, who could press the reset button on my life.
You can imagine all the residual flesh, hurts, wounds, anger, pain, bitterness, hatred that Terry Crews grew up with. What could set him free? The Lord. Jesus. Jesus, because of the new person, the rebirth, the being born again, having the life of Jesus in him, he realized, I don't have to be that old person. I don't have to be a slave to sin, anger, hatred, revenge. Because that's not me. I'm a new person. I could reset. I could change my life. I could become and act differently now. Because I am a new person in Christ. When we upload the message today, there's going to be a link if you want to watch. It's about 30 minutes, his interview. It's really insightful, really powerful. But Terry Crews, as well as us, we could choose. We could choose to more and more live out of our spirit, the new person, put to death, crucify the flesh, and take that old thing off. You know, this morning we're covering some real deep foundational theological truths, doctrinal theological truths. And they're things you don't normally hear in everyday life. In everyday life, when you're walking around, when you're at work or you're at school, or for the most part watching TV or on social media, you don't hear about there's two yous. You don't hear about the spirit person and the flesh person. You don't hear about those things unless you're in the Word or hearing the Word. Why is this so important? Why is this so important? Why do we need to hear it? Why do we need to study it? Why do we need to know it inside and out, in our head and in our hearts? Why do we need to carry that truth in our souls? Well, one big reason is this: because you and I behave our beliefs. We behave our beliefs. Whatever you believe inside, not just mentally assent to, not just mentally agree, whatever you truly believe inside, you will act out. If you want to know what someone really believes, look at their life. They will live out what they truly believe. They can say all they want, but when you really want to know what they really believe, you look at their lives. Because we behave our beliefs. Let's say that together. We behave our beliefs. Let's say it again. We behave our beliefs. One more time. We behave our beliefs. If you believe you're an angry person, maybe because of your upbringing, maybe because of your dad, maybe because you were picked on, maybe because you've been constantly disappointed in life, whatever the reason, if you believe you're an angry person, how do you think you're going to act? Like an angry person. If you believe you're a lazy person, how are you going to act? If you believe you're an impatient person, an unworthy person, a worried person, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever you believe about yourself, you will behave that way. You will act that out. This is a diagram of the truth. Old you, if you receive Christ, dead, crucified. You have a new you and a flesh. That new, the spirit person, that's the true you. That's the real you. That's the you that God sees. That's the you that God created. This is a false you. It's a false you. It's not true. It's not the real you. It's a liar. The false you, the flesh, it's an imposter. It's a remnants of a you that is now dead. Those parts need to be taken off. Those parts need to be put to death. Those parts need to be crucified. As Romans 8:13 said, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You will experience life. You will experience the life that God has for you. You will be the person that God created you to be, that you are in the Spirit. Right now, I'm going to give you an identity test, okay? I'm going to give you a little identity quiz, all right? And I want you, in a minute, I'm going to put these questions on the up here on the screen. There's just two simple questions. And as you look at the questions, I want to know what your thoughts, what your feelings, what your reaction is to these questions. Okay, ready? Ready? Okay, here are the questions. Do whatever you want to do. In life, do whatever you want to do. Or, God wants you to do whatever you want to do. God wants you to do whatever you want to do. Okay, what are your thoughts? What are your feelings? What's your reaction to these statements? I see some twisted faces, like, okay, let me tell you what your reaction means. If you say yes, 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 do whatever I want to do. Yes, God wants me to do whatever I want to do. If you say yes to that, and depending, if you say strongly yes to that, what that means is it's because you identify yourself with the spiritual you. That spiritual you always wants to do right, always wants to honor God, is holy, blameless, righteous, has the law written on your heart. So when you see these questions and you say, yeah, of course, because I'm the new spiritual you and the likeness of God. That's who I am. That's who I identify with. So of course, do whatever I want to do. Yes, because I always want to do right. Now, if you said, no, that's not true. No, that's not right. No, what that means is you identifying yourself with your fleshly self. Because you can't trust your fleshly self. No, this is too much freedom. No, we can't just do whatever we want to do because what we want to do sometimes is wrong, is bad, it's evil, it's selfish. How you respond to this question indicates your bent of thinking. And so often, we identify ourselves, who we are, with our fleshly self, the residual self. Can't trust that guy. I've seen that guy. I am that guy. But that guy needs to die. And that's not the real you. That's a lie. Now for application, next year, 2024, I'm going to talk about this more in the new year, but next year, 2024, we are going to emphasize training, practicing of how we can more better live out of our spirit, walk by the spirit, live the way God has made us to live. And I believe it needs training. It needs practice. In fact, I'm going to do a boot camp. I'm going to do several boot camps next year. And why I mean boot camp, it's because you have to do the homework. You got to make the commitment. If you miss it, gone. Because it's boot camp. It's training. And that's what we need. Okay? But today, just as an appetizer, I'm going to give you just one tool to help you be the true you, okay? Just one tool. It's a simple question that you can train yourself and your thinking, renewing the mind. You have to train yourself to ask yourself this question over and over and over. And you can use it with any action, speech, thinking, parenting, relationships, reactions, choices, self-talk, any aspect of your life. You can use this question, and it'll help you to live, take a step of living from the true you and not the false you. You want to know the question? The question, very simple, is this. Which you is that? Which you is that? If you have a thought, you just stop. Which you is that? Is that my true you? Is that my spiritual you? Or is that my flesh? If you say something, which you is that? I give that example. Negative things were coming out of my mouth. I didn't ask myself that question, so Dale had to ask it for me. She said, you need a Sabbath. And that made me think, which you is that? Oh, that's my flesh. And then I go, right? When you have your attitudes, your emotions. Your emotions are authentic. All your emotions, there's not a bad or good emotion. Just reaction to emotions are bad or good. But where did that come from, that emotion? Is that coming from a wound? Is that coming from a flesh? This can help you take a first step towards living from the Spirit. Because if you don't know, if you think it's all you, good, bad, whatever, good speech, bad speech, whatever, it's all me, then you won't be able to put to death the things of the flesh. You won't be living out of your spirit because it's all you. Be the true you. Jesus died and rose again so you can be the new you. So let me close with this question. Will the real you please stand up? Let's bow forward prayer. Lord God, thank you so much for all you have done for us through Jesus Christ. You not only forgave us all of our sins and every act of sin, every word of sin, every thought of sin, past, present, and future, you not only forgave us all that, but you took out, you crucified with you, Jesus, our sin nature. And you gave us a brand new life. Not after Adam, but after you. Patterned after you, in the likeness of you, Jesus. You gave us your life. Lord, would you set these truths in our hearts and in our minds that we would know them. We would know who we really are. Lord, that you would encourage, empower us, fill us, give us hope, give us, Lord, your love and grace to know you have given us all we need to be free, to put to death the things of the flesh, to crucify those things, to overcome those things, so we could live as your children, full of life, honoring and pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for who we are in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.